while use of genealogy and genetic testing sites has exploded in the general population, it's also caught the interest of a group that may not be the first to come to mind. Law enforcement and criminal investigators have begun to use genealogy website databases to find potential suspects, and in the case of the so-called Golden State Killer in California, make an arrest. Megan Multeni is a staff writer at Wired, where she covers biology, health, technology, and the environment. She's been writing about the use of genealogy sites and solving cold cases like California's murderer and rapist known as the Golden State Killer. Megan, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, a lot more people are using these sites, but not everybody is, Megan. So talk us, for people who are unfamiliar, how do these things work?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, genealogy has been around for a lot longer than we've had genetic testing. So we're talking about, you know, people who make family trees using census records and birth and death certificates and obituaries. But in the last 5 years or so, as DNA sequencing technologies have become less expensive, genetic ancestry tests have become, you know, very widely available to the average consumer. So, you know, the companies that do this kind of testing, you know, the big ones are 23andMe and Ancestry. There's also MyHeritage and Family Tree DNA, and they all basically work the same way. You send in your spit. They, you know, take that saliva, they crack open the cells in there, they pull out the DNA, and they put together a map of about 600,000, more or less, places in your genome. And because of how inheritance works, you know, some of that DNA came from your mom, some came from your dad, and then on back and back kind of in time. And it turns out that you can actually look at the number and the size of the kind of shared DNA between people and figure out how related two people are. And, you know, that math gets easier the more people are in the database. So essentially, you know, these kinds of commercial services will tell you, you know, based on who's in their database, who you might be related to. You know, so those aren't the sites that law enforcement are using at this time because you need a warrant to access those. They're private databases, but those companies also provide a service where you can download your genetic profile, those raw data files, and then you can upload them to publicly available third-party websites. And so that's the one that law enforcement have started to become attracted to. And so that's the big one is one called GEDmatch or GEDmatch. And that's the one that was actually involved in the Golden State Killer case.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So there's this sort of voluntary thing. If you've done these genetic testing, you can load yourself up to this GEDmatch. How did police use this to ultimately catch the so-called Golden State Killer?
Sure. Yeah. So they, you know, they had DNA evidence from that cold case, you know, going back for decades that they had run through the traditional forensic databases, hadn't turned up any matches, which just meant that, you know, this person had not ever come into contact with law enforcement before. And so what they did was they, you know, took a genetic profile that they derived from that evidence, they uploaded it into GEDmatch, and then they worked with a genealogist to look at the matches that came out of that. And they basically found a third cousin, which is on the farther end of kind of where you can work from, because there's not that much genetic similarity at that point. But working with that genealogist, they were able to, you know, they kind of had a family name at that point. And then they were able to narrow it down using, you know, genealogy records, but also using kind of police work to figure out, get down to an individual who kind of matched the profile of the Golden State Killer, so lived in the right places in California at about the right time, and eventually came up with the name of a suspect who was still living in California. And at that point, detectives underwent surveillance of the individual, whose name is Joseph James D'Angelo. They eventually staked out his house, got, you know, some DNA evidence that was discarded from his property, and ran that against, you know, against a DNA match, and found that he was a match to the old crime scene evidence. And that was the point at which they made the arrest.
Now, this raises questions for people involved in GEDmatch and the people who upload their data. There are a lot of things they may be hoping to do with their genetic data. Probably helping catch criminals wasn't at the top of their mind. What kind of reaction did this get?
Yeah, I mean, initially it was pretty mixed. I think people who use GEDmatch, it's a lot of hobbyist genealogists. You know, there are about 100,000 people. Excuse me, that's incorrect. There are about 1 million, just over 950,000 people who were on GEDmatch at the time that that news broke. And initially, a number of people did pull their profiles or privatize them, make them not available to use. But in the days afterward, you know, as kind of the genealogy crowd grappled with what this meant, a number of the number of people uploading profiles began to tick back up. And I think people wanted their DNA to be used for good, you know, and especially with such a high-profile case, you know, this was obviously a big win, to provide some closure for all the families affected by the Golden State Killer. So, kind of in the aftermath of that, the two individuals who run GEDmatch essentially changed the terms and conditions for the website. So it now explicitly says that GEDmatch is used by law enforcement individuals. That is something that you have to acknowledge and accept before you can, you know, log back in. And it also added a additional feature where when you're uploading a profile, you have to say kind of whether it's your own DNA or someone, you know, else's DNA who you have explicit permission for, or if you're a law enforcement agency. And the only two conditions on which they explicitly allow it in the terms and conditions is if that individual is a suspect in a violent crime, so a rape or a murder, or if it's to identify unidentified remains.
Talking to Megan Multenny from Wired, talking about the use of a genetic testing or a genetic matching website for criminal investigations. And Megan, now since all of that happened after the apprehension of the Golden State Killer, are they doing this now? Are police working with GEDmatch and finding criminals in cold cases?
Yeah, so far they're not working with them directly. There is a forensic firm called Parabon Nanolabs that essentially specializes in a service called DNA phenotyping. So they'll take DNA from a crime scene and they will create a kind of facial composite of what they think that suspect looks like. So that was a service they already provided. They had about 100 genetic profiles already on file. From police and investigators around the country, kind of involved in cold cases. And so essentially, what they did was they asked all of those police departments, hey, do you want us to run this through GEDmatch, you know, instead and see if we get any hits? It's part of a new service they announced May 8th. It's called their Genetic Genealogy Unit. It's actually being headed up by a kind of famous genealogist named C.C. Moore. And so essentially, from that point, as soon as they're getting permissions from police departments, they're uploading that to GEDmatch. They're seeing what's turning up. So far, they've had about 20 of those 100 profiles. They've had 20 that seem like there will be some promising future work that can be hashed out with their genealogists, and about 30 others that are, you know, maybe potentially gonna turn up some hits, and then about 50% that, you know, there's no one in the database right now that turns up a match, but that may change over time as people upload new profiles.
So some obvious upside there in the sense of solving, in some cases, heinous crimes. Are people raising downside concerns, worries about privacy or misuse of this kind of information?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's actually the first problem is that there's a big misconception out there that, you know, that people who've submitted their spit to 23andMe and Ancestry, that police are working directly with those databases. And so that's, you know, the first thing is dispelling kind of that misconception. That's, you know, that's not true. Those companies require a warrant from a police department to turn over information, and they actually haven't yet turned over any genetic information to law enforcement, kind of based on their own reporting. So, you know, these are people who are voluntarily uploading their genetic profiles, and they are acknowledging the risks and how it might be used by law enforcement. But the big concern is that, you know, your DNA isn't just yours. That's just how heredity works. So the tension is that any sample that gets uploaded is also providing information that could lead to relatives that haven't consented to have their information made public, and they might not even know that's been done. So I might choose to accept the risk for myself after reading the terms and conditions. But by uploading my information, I can kind of quickly create this genetic dragnet that implicates a lot of people I'm related to who haven't knowingly made a decision to participate. And so that really gets into some strange gray areas as far as privacy is concerned.
We are very literally in early days here, right? Because you said they just made some of these policies last month. Is this just the tip of the iceberg? Are we going to see a lot more use or attempted use of this kind of genetic information in crime solving?
I think so. I mean, things seem like they're moving very quickly. Essentially, the Golden State Killer news kind of cracked this open, and it made both law enforcement and the genealogy community aware that this was a potential use. You know, Parabon launched their service just days later. There was already a second case that they solved. So it was a double murder up in Snohomish County, Washington. Dating back a couple of decades, and I believe it was like a Friday night that Parabon Nanolabs uploaded the crime scene evidence to GEDmatch, and CC Moore, their genealogist, worked on it over the weekend, and basically by Monday was able to take, she had two matches from second cousins on opposite sides of the family tree. So it was a much more straightforward case than the Golden State Killer. So essentially those two cousins had to be joined by a marriage. And it turned out that the product of that marriage was just a single only child. It was a son. And so basically it took a weekend to go from a DNA sample to providing the police with a name, and an arrest was made later that week. So I do think that, you know, there is a real excitement from the law enforcement community that this.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Megan Maltenny, staff writer at Wired, talking about genetic testing and matching and police investigations. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time.